Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this manner I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
A few weeks ago, something became lodged in the drain pipes downstairs. The blockage caused a generous amount of water and waste paper to ooze up out of the floor drains. The resulting mess made the kitchen unusable for days, and this right before sack lunch. Be sure to thank Paul and Diana when you see them for all of their hard work in cleaning and sanitizing that kitchen. It's a major inconvenience when a blockage like this happens in a building. But when it happens in the human heart, it can be fatal. The Christians in Corinth were struggling with a blockage of their own when they received the letter that we know as 2 Corinthians. It all started the year before when they heard about St. Paul's collection for the saints in need in Jerusalem. Something about the apostles' appeal tugged at their hearts. In a moment of weakness, or was it strength? They were overwhelmed with charitable feelings. We don't know what they promised to give. However, Paul apparently boasted about their commitment as he toured the churches of Macedonia. Sometime later, word reached Paul that a blockage had formed in the body of Christ. The Christians in Corinth were not going to be nearly as generous as they had initially led Paul to believe. Like a doctor, Paul tried to diagnose the problem. The blockage did not result from ignorance. They excelled in everything, including faith, speech, knowledge, utmost eagerness, and love. The blockage did not result from a lack of means. After all, he knew that many of them had the means to give more than they were apparently going to give. Perhaps the blockage resulted from a lack of sincerity. Paul wrote, "I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others." He would wait for the results to come back before drawing this conclusion. Was it possible that the blockage was caused by their perception of their own wealth? Could they actually believe that their meager offering, a full year in the works, was generous? Blockages often form when we fail to see our abundance rightly. But let's step away for a moment from the Corinthians' finances and consider how difficult it can be to recognize an abundance. I brought three different Band-Aids with me today. You can see them here on my forearm. and they represent a range of skin colors across the Band-Aid world. Now, Alejandro, I'm going to need you to come up here and help me with this morning.
Take a look at these three Band-Aids here, and which one would you say is least noticeable on my arm? This one up here? Can everyone see the Band-Aids? Alejandro said, this one right here is least noticeable on my arm. If you can see it from where you're sitting, because that is very hard to see. Thank you. You can return to your seat.
Even though all of the Band-Aids have a similar color, the least noticeable Band-Aid is a close match for my skin color. Now, between the other two, which one's most noticeable? By show of hands, how many say the top one is most noticeable? How many say the middle one here is most noticeable? All right, so most people can see the top ones. And if I had black skin, none of these would be a close match at all. All of them would stick out. One of my seminary professors used this analogy when describing white privilege. I had never realized that something as simple as a choice of Band-Aid could be available to me because of my white skin, but not to my neighbor of color. For the first time, I understood how my skin color could give me an abundance that was denied to my darker-skinned neighbors. When we become aware of our abundance, God's apparent generosity to us contrasts starkly with the needs of others. If we do not address this imbalance, a blockage forms in our hearts, making us less caring, less understanding, and less concerned with anyone beyond ourselves, ultimately tearing the body apart. This is at odds with who God created us to be. God created us to depend on one another for our daily bread. We obstruct God's generosity to our neighbor when we jealously guard our abundance and compete with our neighbor's need. Paul recalls God's grace to the Israelites as they wandered in forsaken places for 40 years. God generously provided bread from heaven according to each family's need, so that the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Paul encouraged the Corinthians to strive for a fair balance between their present abundance and the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. For one day, the saints in Jerusalem just might be God's instrument for addressing the needs of the saints in Corinth. God knows how easily blockages form in the human heart. So God addresses the imbalance created by our weakness. For God's generosity is the source of life for all who live in Christ Jesus. Paul put it this way: "For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." He possessed everything, yet he emptied himself completely. He descended into the shadows of human selfishness and the depths of human pain. He even went so far as to suffer damnation on a cross, a form of execution that was unthinkable for anyone but the poorest and most loathsome criminals. Through his extreme poverty, you and I have become rich beyond measure. After he ascended to the Father, he poured out God's Spirit on his disciples, knitting them into a new body. The body that was broken by the blockage in our hearts has been made whole. Humanity has been reborn in Christ. Poor and rich, Jew and Gentile, friend and enemy, immigrant and citizen, men and women, old and young, straight and gay, black and white, slave and free, all restored to friendly relations with God and with one another through the body of our Lord Jesus. This is the wealth of the gospel. This is the hope of the kingdom. Our Lord's body was broken and made whole, so that all who live in him might share in his wholeness. Scarcity is transformed into abundance when our perceptions are shaped by God's generosity. We give up the hopeless pursuit of greater comfort and security, and we dedicate ourselves to working out the implications of our salvation. As Paul encouraged the Christians in Corinth to do, so we also complete this work according to our means. This is true and authentic stewardship. For years, the word stewardship has conjured up images of unbalanced budgets, passive-aggressive appeals, public shaming, and focused pledge drives. This perception of stewardship is dangerous because it limits stewardship to money and to obligation. A more faithful understanding of stewardship acknowledges stewardship as a way of life for God's faithful people. Through this way of life, all that we have, all that we are, become manifestations of God's generosity to our neighbors. Our use of our gifts, our skills, our unique personal qualities, and our possessions all have the possibility and the potential to lead us deeper into the wholeness of Christ's body. We know the work of the Holy Spirit when our use of these things brings about greater wholeness in Christ's body. When our use of these things brings about lesser wholeness, we just might discover that a life-threatening blockage has become lodged in our own hearts. So let us share whatever we have in abundance: privilege, legal status, special talents or skills, food, health, clothing, ripened vegetables from the garden, hours in a day, space in our house, love, enthusiasm, belonging with Christ, and yes, even personal finances, so that the wealth of the gospel may be known throughout the world. Through careful attention, prayer, reflection, and planning, we will discover an abundance that we didn't even know we had. Spread the wealth. Christ has made you rich.